are listening to the North Hills Baptist Church podcast with Pastor David Hetzer.
Proverbs chapter 12 tonight. Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to look at a challenging verse tonight. I love Proverbs. Sometimes you read them and you're saying, okay, I know there's something good here, I just need to get it. And this is one of those verses that when I got it, I'm not sure I really wanted it now that I know what it means, if you know what I mean, but I hope to articulate it well tonight. Proverbs chapter 12, and we're going to look at one verse, verse 10. The Bible says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Let's pray. Father, I pray you now bless the preaching of your word and help us to consider this truth, I pray, from the book of Proverbs. Bless now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. I don't know how many of you have ever taken a personality test. How many of you have ever taken a personality test? All right, several of you. Oftentimes when you get a certain job or you enter into different classes, they will have you take a personality test. When I was on staff at a particular church, we all had to take personality tests to, I guess, discover our personalities or what have you. And, you know, so you've got all these different questions that it asks, and some are much more thorough than others. I remember taking this one. It was like pages of questions, and so you have to answer questions like, you know, are you more of a facts kind of person, or are you more of a feelings kind of person? Do you prefer crowds, or do you prefer isolation? Do you enjoy social events, or would you rather read a book? Do you do things by the book, or do you prefer to keep things open and loose? Do you enjoy debating? Do you like rules, or do you lean towards freedom of expression? Do you like helping people, et cetera, et cetera? And you go down, you answer all these different questions, and then when you're done, basically, depending on what kind of test, they say, here's who you are. You are an expressive, you know, leader, or you're an independent, this or that, or you're intuitive. I think the one I took, I was an ENJF or something like that, expressive something, something, something. It was whatever it was, and it was like 5 pages explaining who I am. And what happens, obviously, when people take these personality tests, you know, you see a lot of yourself in the results. You do. I mean, if anyone denies that, you're just denying the obvious. I mean, you do see parts of who you are and parts of who you're not. But then oftentimes, I remember, I've heard people say this so many times, when dealing with a person or dealing with an issue or dealing with a circumstance, people will often say this, well, that's just not my personality. Maybe you've said that. Maybe I've said that. Well, it's just not my personality. And so for instance, if it's dealing with a conflict or if it's holding people to rules or whatever it is, people will often, they will often speak of their strengths of their personality, and they'll highlight their strengths and put a lot of effort in that, and then they'll kind of dismiss themselves from the things that aren't a part of their personality. Like, well, you know, you can't really expect that of me because that's just not who I am. And so sometimes we can kind of get comfortable in our personality because there are certain things about us that, naturally speaking, maybe some are more this way and we're not that way. And there is a lot of truth to that. But one of the things I think about when I hear, if you've been involved in management or leadership and you're talking about personalities and you've ever heard someone tell you what they are, and they'll often use that to tell you what they're good at and what they're not good at, one of the questions I have to throw in that whole equation is this. Does it matter if we're saved or lost? In other words, if I'm a Christian, do I still get lumped in with the lost and we're all just the same? So in other words, here I am, I'm a Christian, and I take this personality test, and this personality test says, well, you're good at this and you're not good at this, and you favor this and you don't favor that, so you should do these things. This really isn't your strength, so you find other people who do those kinds of things. And there's a lot of truth to that, but one of the questions I'm asking myself is, so do I just write it off, and do I just put myself in categories with the lost? In other words, I'm really no different. I'm confined to my personality, just like a lost person is confined to their personality. Are you hearing me tonight? So in other words, I don't like people, but that's just my personality. I don't like people any more than lost people don't like people who have my personality. And I just want to say this, that I acknowledge we all have different personalities. And I have no problems embracing that, knowing that, understanding that God made us that way. But I also know this, that Christianity is not confined to the boundaries of our personality. That you and I don't get saved and God says, well, now you're a child, now you've been born again, but we understand that when I made you in your fallen state, that I put this box around you, and so you'll never really be this way because that's just not your personality. So sorry. Are you with me tonight? And so we have to be careful that we don't dismiss things in our life or excuse ourselves of things in our life because we don't think it's within the nature of our personality. Because if we do that, here's what we're saying. That my Christianity cannot rise above my personality. That's what you're saying. That's what I'm saying. If I say, well, you know, I'm not talking about like being an outgoing person. I'm talking about different things that might have to do with being a Christian. Okay? I understand not everybody in here is going to be the life of the party kind of a personality. The scriptures doesn't really call you to that. So you're okay that way. But I'm just saying that you can't confine your person, you can't confine who you are as a person to your personality or your upbringing. Because to do so is to say that my Christianity is limited to my upbringing or to my personality, and that doesn't match up with the Word of God. And I want to make this statement, that we have parts of our personality that are sinful. In other words, when I'm taking that personality test, there are things that it's asking me about that I know that I'm saying I don't do, but I know in my heart that it's actually sinful that I don't do them. What do you mean? Because the Bible tells me that I should do them. What do you mean? Like, for instance, if I'm not very merciful, okay, if I just don't really have a merciful heart, I may write that in the box, but the Bible does tell me to be merciful. Now, but that may be my personality, but that's really irrelevant. Because I may have parts of my personality that are sinful. In other words, within the makeup of your personality are traits that are sinful. Did you hear me? Within the makeup of your personality are traits that are sinful. Now, one trait that is true to personalities is some people are more considerate and sensitive to others' needs than others. Would we agree with that? That even just in natural life, some people are more considerate and sensitive to other needs than other people. We can just go male, female, just to start it off. Females tend to be more considerate and more sensitive to other people's needs. And then within that, you have people who are much more considerate and more sensitive of others. Now, I wouldn't deny that tonight. I wouldn't act like you and I all have the same disposition towards consideration of others. I don't think that to be the case. But here's where we have to be careful. Where we might mess up is where we write off our lack of consideration or sensitivity to people as a personality thing. In other words, well, that's just kind of how my wife is. You know, she considers people, you know, she's sensitive to people's needs. Well, I'm just not like that. And we would write off our insensitivity or our lack of consideration to people because that's just who we are. And I want to make this statement. Our level of consideration isn't really about our personality. It's about our spirituality. Let me say it again. Our level of consideration isn't about our personality. It's about our spirituality. Now, I'm acknowledging that some people may have a natural inclination to be more considerate of others. I'm not doubting that, but I'm telling you and me tonight at the end of the day that our level of consideration and sensitivity to other people's needs is not an issue of personality, it's an issue of spirituality. And we see that right here in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10. It jumps off the page at us. So let's consider this verse. Proverbs 12, 10, the Bible speaks of this: a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. So In this verse, we have a man who owns a beast. A beast is not like some weird creature. It's referring to a beast, an animal used for productivity. It's his beast. It would be like his oxen, would be probably the primary application. Could also be his donkey or mule. So you have a man, he has his beast, he has his oxen, he has his mule. Okay, that's it speaks of the four-footed animal of productivity. So he has this beast, this animal. And the reason why it's called a beast is it's different than a human. I'm going to get very basic here for a second, but you need to think about this in order to really draw out the truth here. It's called a beast because it's different than a human. In what way? Well, one, it has very little intellectual ability. Now listen, I know people watch Bambi and Disney movies and all that, but they don't think like the movies make them think. Animals are primarily instinctive. They don't have great intellectual ability. I'm not saying some animals aren't smart. They're not smart like humans are smart, though. They have very little intellectual ability, comparatively speaking. So if you like try to have a conversation with an ox, good luck with that. If you try to have a conversation with a donkey, good luck with that. If you try to bring your donkey into algebra class, let me know how that works out for you. They're not intellectual animals. You understand me tonight? They're not brains. They don't have the intellectual capability of human beings. They're pretty much instinctive, and they learn and even grow within the instincts that God gave them. Let me say that again. So in other words, we do see animals that grow in intellect, but even their intellect is bound by instinct. So like a bear takes a cub and teaches a cub how to get a fish, and people say, oh, they're just so intelligent. Well, no, they're instinctive. They're instinctive, and so they learn within the instincts that God gave them. That's different. That's different. There's boundaries to what a bear can do. Okay, you're not going to go to the forest and see a bear wearing clothing. They don't think that way. It's not within their instincts. So they have little intellectual ability. They have no spiritual life. Now, are they aware of a creator in a sense? I mean, the Bible talks about the creation groaneth. I mean, if you want to go that far. But they don't pray. They don't know God. They don't get saved. They don't have a soul, okay? These animals have a base purpose in life. These animals, oxen, mule, they exist to work for humanity. There's an oxen. He's in the stall. What is the oxen there for? Well, the oxen is there for the owner who's going to take that oxen and put the oxen in the field, and he's going to use that oxen to plow. That's the purpose of the oxen. You take a cow, there's a reason why every part of the cow can be used. Because its primary function is for humanity. It's a base purpose. It doesn't have a grand theological purpose. God's not going to use an oxen for the redemption of mankind. They have a base purpose, which is to plow the field or to bring strength to move something, or a donkey to take weight and to help travel in commerce. Are you with me? They have a very base purpose. They also engage in animal activity, which is very different than humans. Their restroom activity is different than ours. Their eating habits are different than ours. Even the way they take care of themselves is different than ours. So when you observe an animal, they're more brutish. Their activity is not like ours. The way they interact with each other, the whole activity of an animal is completely different. So what I'm getting at is this. A beast is not on the same level as a human being. Now, contrary to what the media wants to portray, and you know, we have a dolphin die and the whole world goes to shame, it's on the front page, and a child gets run over by a car, and it's on like page 13B. Okay? But I understand that. I'm just saying that a human and a beast are not on the same level. Are you with me tonight? If you're struggling with that thought, you need to spend way more time in the Word of God and way less time watching the news. Because there's a huge difference. God made animal for man. He did not make animal like man. Okay? I'm thinking everyone's with me, but the lack of amens is making me very nervous tonight. Okay? So they're not on the same level in worth or purpose. In worth or purpose. So you have this man, the Bible says he regardeth the life of his beast. So the word regardeth means to know, to be aware, to observe and care. We would use this word, consider. He considers the life of his beast. So you have this man, and he owns an oxen. You have this man, he owns a mule. And what does he do? He considers the life. He considers this beast that he has. He's considerate of it. In what way? Well, it would be things like this. He considers the amount of work his beast is able to perform. He knows how much work his oxen can do. He knows how much weight his donkey can handle. He knows how far that his donkey can travel. He knows how much of a field his oxen can handle before it begins to break him in, before it begins to harm his body, before it begins to do things to the body of his beast that are not good. He knows the workload that his beast can handle. He also considers its needs. He makes sure that his oxen has water. He makes sure that his oxen has proper food. He makes sure that his mule is fed and that it gets the amount of drinks that it needs. And so if he's traveling from one place to another, or if he's out on a hot sunny day and he's laboring, however much gallons of water an oxen need, he would know. I wouldn't. He would know. And he regards the life of his beast, and he would make sure it gets enough high quality H2O. He would consider its injuries or illnesses. He brings his donkey out, and his donkey has a limp. His donkey has a sore on his knee, or his oxen seems funny. His oxen doesn't seem to have the strength, and he considers that. And he doesn't just rush his oxen out in the field. He doesn't just say, well, donkey, toughen up today, and throw the load on the donkey. He considers the life of his animal, and so he may take some medicine. He may take some salve and put it on the wound. He may just give the donkey the day off. He may lighten the load. He may only have the animal do a certain amount of work that day. In other words, here is this man, and he's considering the life of his beast. And it means this, too. It means that he's considering how it should be treated. Now, obviously, an animal doesn't get treated like a human, but an animal does get treated some way. And so he considers how he should handle this animal and how he should physically touch this animal. And I've even been reading books about people breaking horses and dealing with horses, and they have to apply some force to the horse. But they also consider the horse. They don't want to break the spirit of the horse. They don't want to overly afflict the horse. It's a consideration of the animal and what you're trying to do. And so here's this man, and he has these beasts that are, they're not humans. They're just base animals. They eat, they work, they go to the bathroom, they die. I'm being very primitive. That's what they essentially do. They're just here. But yet this man takes the time to consider his beast. Considers it, if it needs something, make sure it's taken care of. He considers its health. He considers how he treats the beast. He's considerate of it. Why is he so? Well, because he's just a very sensitive man. Because, you know, he's just got a heart for animals. He's just, you know, one day he was playing out in the field and he saw this little animal, and he just decided he would love animals. He had stuffed animals in his room all the time. And that's not what it says. Here's what it says. It says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. You know why he's regarding the life of his beast? Because he's righteous. Righteous. It means this. He's not just compassionate on animals because that's just the way God made him. He's compassionate and considerate of this beast because he's righteous in his heart. He loves God. He has a relationship with God. He walks before the Lord in righteousness, doing right before God. And as a righteous man with a righteous heart, he recognizes that there is a right way to treat animals. He recognizes that there is a right way to carry on his dealings. And so you have this man who's being sensitive, and don't take it too far. I'm sure he applies force, and I'm sure he doesn't treat the oxen like a pet, like a friend, and bring him into his house. He just has a general consideration of the beast, and he does so because he is a righteous individual. He is right with God, and because he's right with God and he wants to do right, he considers the way he treats the animal that's around him. So here's what he's saying. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. He's saying that the righteous live with a high level of consideration. He's not just talking about animals. He's saying this, that the righteous is, this righteous man is, he is so righteous, or he is righteous, that he's so considerate and sensitive that he even considers animals. So he's kind of implying he's obviously pretty considerate of humans. You with me? He's saying that the righteous is so considerate, he has such a high level of sensitivity and consideration that he even considers how he deals with his animals. The righteous function with a high level of consideration. A high level of consideration. If you and I desire to do right and be right before God, you know what that implies? We must be considerate people. If you and I want to be righteous in our life and in our deeds, it means that we should be considerate people. Not just our dogs. Unfortunately, our society's got it backwards. We're way more considerate of dogs than we are humans. But consider this, things like this. Might I injure someone in what I'm about to do? Are my words about to injure someone? Is my response about to injure someone? No, just like this man, he's considering the workload he's about to put his beast through, and he's considering if it's too much, if it's going to harm his animal. You and I, as we live our life and we speak and we interact with people, and we talk to our wife, or we talk to a coworker, we talk to our subordinate, or we talk to our bosses, or we're interacting with somebody in line, or whatever it is, or in the parking lot, we should be considering, am I going to hurt or injure someone in what I'm about to put on them? We should consider what people need. We should consider the needs of people around us, their emotional needs, their physical needs, their intellectual needs. And so when we're engaging with people, it's not always who I am. Well, that's just the way I do things. Oh, that doesn't really matter how you do things. What matters is what does this person need right now? Oh, I just don't feed animals. Well, it doesn't matter, because if you're righteous, you're going to regard the life of your beast. So you're going to feed it anyway. And so whether that's not the question. The question is this: if you want to be righteous, you're going to have to be willing to consider the needs of people around you. It means this. It means being willing to help someone when they're hurting. Learning how to cope with them. Learning how to listen to them. Learning how to encourage them. Learning how to say a word that's fitly spoken, as the Bible says. Learning how to help people when they're hurting. Here's what it really means. It means learning how to handle people. There's a way you handle an animal, and there's a way you deal with people. And if you and I are considerate, you know what it means? It means we know how to handle people. It means we know this, that our spouse is different than our friend. I mean, our spouse should be our best friend, you know what I'm saying. And we handle them differently than we handle the guy at work. And you might have someone you work with, and they might be a little sensitive. Too sensitive. But you might need to learn how to handle that. And deal with that. You come to church, and you got a church, and if we were to take personality tests in our church, we got a lot of different personalities in our church, and you know what we have to be able to do? We have to be able to consider the different personalities and handle people within them as best we can. So the righteous people are considerate of those in their life. Now, the depth of our consideration is important too, because the righteous man regards all the way down to the beast. And here's what it means. It means you and I don't just consider certain people, we consider everybody. We don't just consider people who can do things for us. We don't just consider the guy who can give us a promotion. We don't just consider the person who can make our life miserable if we don't do what they want them to do. We consider the person we're driving on the same freeway with. We consider the person who's in line in front of us with 4,000 items, and we have one. And we consider how we act and how we deal with that. I just throw mine in front. No, I'm just kidding. We consider everybody. Poor, by the way, homeless people are people. And last time I checked, a homeless person is still better than an ox. Why are you saying that? Because sometimes we can treat homeless people worse than we would treat a beast. I'm not even talking about whether they are to have character or not. They're human beings. People, seniors, children, how we are. The depth of our consideration should be for everyone we interact with. I'm glad I didn't call that guy back yesterday. Workers, your wife, the lady in line, on and on we can go. You see, there's greatness of consideration with righteous people. Now, look at verse 10 again. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. Now, this is an interesting contrast. But the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. So now you have a wicked person. Wicked's not good. Wicked means this. I don't love God. I don't have a relationship with God. I'm not going to follow God. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go against God. So a wicked person is a person who is going against God, doesn't love God. They're not trying to be righteous. Are you with me? They're wicked. And this wicked person here is going to attempt to show tender mercies. So I want you to imagine tender mercies speak of the bowels of compassion. Their bowels, that's the emotional aspect. And so you have this wicked person who doesn't love God, doesn't live for God, lives for himself, lives to please himself, lives with all this sinfulness. And so now maybe he has someone coming to him asking for a favor. Or perhaps he's in line. Or perhaps he's in his home. Wherever he or she is, you have this wicked person, and they're going to show their compassion. They're going to show the level of their tender mercies and how they communicate or how they act. Notice what it says. It says, but the tender mercies of the wicked are what? Cruel. So in other words, the wicked person, when the wicked person is even trying to be somewhat civil, trying to be compassionate and merciful and nice, do you know what it still comes out as? Cruelty. They're still harsh. That's what cruel means. They're harsh. They're unforgiving. So you have a wicked person and you have a righteous person who's so generous, they consider all the way down to the beast, but you have a wicked person who's so insensitive that even when they try to be nice, they're cruel. You see the level of extremes here? So what happens? Someone's talking to them and here's what they do. They say something totally unsympathetic about how that's going to make them feel. You ever been in that conversation? You just kind of opened your heart to somebody, and apparently they were wicked, because when they tried to show you compassion, they said the most unsympathetic thing you could imagine. Or they're completely disinterested in your life, or your problems, or your issues. They would much assume rather talk about their day than the tragedy that just happened in your life. They are completely cruel. They are completely disinterested. Even when they're trying, they're disinterested. They're demeaning to how you feel or who you are. And so they talk to you, or maybe they interact with you, and even on a good day for them, they're still demeaning. They still put you down. They still make you feel like this. And they're too demanding. They think they're going easy on you, but they're killing you. I thought I was being a blessing. That's because the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. And so here's how we respond when we're around that kind of person. We'll say something like this. Well, at least they didn't do this today. At least they didn't say this to me today. In other words, they were showing their tender mercies, which are much better than this, which is what they normally do, but it was still cruel when it came out. If you hear someone say that about you, well, at least you didn't do that to me today, that's a good sign that you've got some problems. And so that's the wicked heart. Here's what he's doing. He's showing the level, the great difference of sensitivity between the righteous and the wicked. The righteous is so sensitive, they'll take care of their beasts. And the wicked is so insensitive, they can't be nice even if they try. They're that polar opposite. And here's what the Word of God is saying very clearly. It's not just a personality type to care about people. It's not just personality to overwork, be demeaning, be unsympathetic, be disinterested. The Bible says it's wicked. It's the outflow of a wicked heart. See, wicked people live with a very low consideration of those around them. So let me make some statements. One of the big statements I got out of this is this. Our consideration of people is a revealer of our heart. Which means a few things. One, I have no excuse for being inconsiderate of people. Oh, if the righteous considers the beast, none of us in here tonight have any excuse for being inconsiderate. Well, you don't understand. I was raised in this environment. You don't understand. You know, my parents were this way to me. You don't understand. Listen, that all may be true. But listen, you're either righteous or you're not righteous. And if you have a righteous heart, you will be considerate of people. There's no condition here. So we don't have the ability to excuse ourselves in our marriage because we're not considerate. We don't have the ability to excuse ourselves with our children when we're inconsiderate. We don't have the ability to sit with human resources and explain to them how it's really not our fault that we don't know how to talk to people around us. It's because it's just our personality type. It doesn't work that way. A righteous person is good to people, and a wicked person is not. And there's no excuse for anything else. That's tough. I didn't like this verse. Two, if I am inconsiderate of people, something is wrong with my heart. If I am inconsiderate of people, see, it's not like I can say, well, I'm going to be righteous today, and so therefore I'm going to love people. I'm going to be righteous, and if I have a righteous heart, then my natural outflow is consideration. So if I'm inconsiderate of people, here's what it's an indication of. It's an indication that something's wrong with my heart. Like what? Like I'm proud? I'm so full of pride that I think I'm so much better than everybody else, I can't stand anybody else. I'm selfish? I'm just thinking about my life and my world and my problems and my issues and my goings on and my tasks, and I got so much of me going on, I have no time for you today. I'm full of anger. I'm full of covetousness. So I'm full of something in my heart that's wicked, that's causing me to not consider people around me. Three, as I grow in righteousness, I should grow in consideration. This is a very important statement to me. Here's why. Because there are people who think they are righteous because they have a form of morality, which is good, by the way. I'm for morality. But while they rise and all this stuff they don't do, and I'm glad for that, they treat people like junk. I.e. the Pharisees. Oh, Pharisees, come on. Now, we know that they had some sin problems going on as well. But I just know this. The Pharisees had a lot of stuff. But you know one of the ways we knew that the Pharisees weren't really spiritual was how they treated people. What did Jesus say? You don't take care of your parents. To the Pharisees, you don't take care of your parents. You take advantage of widows. He would go on, they didn't care about people. They're inconsiderate of people. And so listen, if you and I are growing in grace in our righteousness, an evidence of that will be this, our consideration of people around us. Now, you should still be holy, and you should still walk with God, and you should still cleanse yourself of sin. I'm not discounting that. I'm just saying this, they go together. And if you don't have a consideration of people, then something's wrong with you in your heart. Because as you grow in righteousness, you should grow in consideration of people around you. And that's a very good balance to help us know if it's really spirituality or if it's just religion. Your consideration of others is much more than personality. It's piety. It's spiritual devotion. And it's something that all of us tonight should think about. How considerate am I? If you are struggling with consideration, then you should look beyond that and you should immediately look to your heart. Say, am I full of pride? Am I full of selfishness? Am I full of anger? What's wrong? And you should seek the Lord and confess your sin and confess your wicked heart and say, God, help me to be righteous. And as you and I become more righteous, we will become more considerate. Picture Jesus there interacting with children, the lame, the leper, the sick, even the Pharisees like Nicodemus. And we know that Jesus was a holy man. He was God. He was sinless. But along with his incredible holiness was an incredible sensitivity and consideration for people. And just as much as Jesus was pure from sin, he stayed up late at night. He was willing to suffer the little children to come unto him. He was willing to touch the leper. Why? Because comes with a righteous heart comes a consideration of others. May God help us to see that consideration is more than just a personality type. Let's pray.